a time in life is simply to see, live, and fellowship with the Creator. There was a time when there was no guilt, no shame, and no pain. Sam, there was a time when we didn't even pray to Jesus first. We had no desire to eat meat. Then enters one of the most, if not the most, heartbreaking verse in all time. And they heard the sound of the Lord God walking in the garden in the cool of the day. And the man and his wife hid themselves from the presence of the Lord God among the trees of the garden. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, I love you. And I thank you for your grace that we were singing about today, your love and your work to carve out a path so that we can have fellowship with you again. I pray, Father, that that is our longing. Lord, I pray for our time together today that it will honor you, that we will honor you with your word, with our attention and our response. And I pray this in your name. Amen. I realize it's not a popular thing like reality TV, because I hear a lot of people bragging that they don't like reality TV, but if I'm going to be honest with you today, and I think I should, I will tell you that, and I'll have to admit that I really like reality TV. Now, there's different shows that I like. We don't have cable TV anymore, so I don't get to watch them very much, but there's three shows specifically that I like. Survivor, Amazing Race, and Alone. And they have a tendency to draw my attention, and here's why. When it comes to these three series, and maybe others like them, each contestant at some point has to come face to face with who they are. And they do so, and they do that before the whole world. Things they've been trying to hide, prejudices, fears, failures, pains, and brokenness. The challenges of the challenges the contestants have to face from day to day and from minute to minute at times have a tendency to expose the innermost part of each contestant for the viewers to see. And it becomes an incredible moment when you see them encounter that, where they are face to face with the reality of who they are, past hurts, pain, brokenness, fears, things that you try to keep hidden inside so that nobody ever knows how messy your life is. Here's the deal, is that we like control. And as a result of our addiction to control, we have a strong tendency to keep our weaknesses, our sins, our hopes, and our dreams, and our brokenness, a secret. We should know this, that secrets are the devil's playground. He wants you to keep it there, so that he can play and roam around and have his way in your life, whether you're saved or lost. He wants you to keep it there, because that's his playground. From man's first sin, we have been trying to hide our imperfections and our messiness. However, when we give up control and give control to Jesus, that's when healing begins. And we don't have to hide because we are now clothed in Christ. You see what happened in the beginning when Adam and Eve sinned against God? Their first instinct was to hide from the presence of God so that he wouldn't know what was going on. Even though we know better than that he knew what was going on. And sometimes that's the way that, well, not sometimes, but most of the time that's the way that we approach life. We wear our Sunday best when we come to church because we don't want other church members to know how messy my life is. I want my kids to look good. I need to look good. And we need to look like we've got it together. Because it doesn't seem like anybody else's life is messy like mine is. So, before I go any further, I'm going to ask you to give up control today and give it to God. We need to come face to face with our fears, our weaknesses, our sins, our hopes and dreams, and most of all, our brokenness, our messiness. Everything that is done here today, like I said earlier, is leading up to a time of invitation. And we should be prepared for that. If you would, turn your Bible to Matthew 9. The title of the message today is Church is for the Broken. That title could also be The Church is for Messy People. And getting into a boat, he crossed over and came to his own city. And behold, some people brought to him a paralytic lying on a bed. And when Jesus saw their faith, he said to the paralytic, "Take heart, my son, your sins are forgiven." And behold, some of the scribes said to themselves, "This man is a blasphemer. But Jesus, knowing their thoughts, said, Why do you think evil in your heart? For which is easier to say, your sins are forgiven, or to say, rise and walk? But that you may know that the Son of Man has authority on earth to forgive sins." And then it said to the paralytic, "Rise, pick up your bed, and go home." And he rose and he went on. When the crowd saw it, they said, they were afraid, and they glorified God, who had given such an authority to men. As Jesus passed from there, he saw a man called Matthew sitting at the tax booth. And he said to him, "Follow me." And he rose and he followed him. And as Jesus reclined at the table in the house, behold, many tax collectors and sinners came and were reclining with Jesus and his disciples. And when the Pharisees saw this, they said to his disciples, "Why does your teacher eat with tax collectors and sinners?" But when he heard it, he said, "Those who are well have no need of a physician, but those who are sick, go and learn what this means. I desire mercy, not sacrifice. For I came not to call the righteous, but the sinners." The church is for the broken. The church is for the messy. The characters in today's text are Jesus, the paralytic, and his friend, the Pharisees, tax collectors, sinners, and the crowd. What we see from the case of the paralytic and his friends is that they trusted him. They trusted Jesus. And he saw their faith and responded to it with healing and grace. Yet the Pharisees had evil in their hearts and began criticizing Jesus and accusing him. Jesus was able to see the evil in their heart and address it, giving them food for thought. Several passages in Scripture let us know that, that God knows what's going on in our heart. Maybe it's in 1 Samuel that we see what is visible, but God sees what is in our heart. There's some places in the Bible that talks about those that praise with their lips, but their hearts are far away from God. So what we see in the case of the paralytic and his friends is that they trusted Jesus. Their hearts were in the right place. And the crowd witnessed the work of Jesus and began to glorify him. In the case of the tax collectors and sinners, Jesus called on Matthew and asked Matthew to follow him. Matthew, who was a tax collector, although Jesus specifically called Matthew, many tax collectors and sinners came and reclined with Jesus. And again, those Pharisees. This time they began to question Jesus with the company he keeps. And in response, Jesus clearly states in so many words that the church is for the broken. The church is for these people right here. The church is for the tax collector. The church is for the sinner. Matter of fact, he tells us that he came to preach to the poor and to set the captives free. If you got it all together, you don't need Jesus. Just like a hospital is for the sick, so is the church. So here's the deal. How do we respond to this? Well, the church, Jesus established through his teaching and his power, is a safe place to confess our needs, to confess our weakness, to confess our sins, to share our future hopes and dreams. And when I say the church is a place, I am not talking about the building that we're in. You know that, right? That wherever we are, those that are believers of Christ, that confess Jesus as their Savior, that have been born again, that is a safe place. To confess your weaknesses, to confess your sin, to share your future hopes and dreams. Without fear of being punished or wounded even further. The church is for the broken and the downcast. Jesus himself said, I have come to seek and to save the lost. He said, I have come to preach to the poor and to free those who are in bondage. Scripture testifies that Jesus, when he stood before the crowds, that he looked at them with compassion. Because they were lost like sheep without a shepherd. So listen, church, we need to know that Jesus loves you. And he cares for you. He never intended for you to deal with brokenness and messiness by yourself. He never intended for the church to ignore the broken or those in need. The church is for the broken. And just like Jesus had compassion, he has placed a spirit of compassion in us. The church is not a spa, however. Now, I know you knew that before I said it, right? I mean, I don't think you wake up on Monday morning and go to the counter and have an encounter with somebody and say, hey, you should come to Central Baptist. It's just like a spa. Why do I feel the need to say that? Well, I can explain. People go to a spa to be pampered. We should never go to church to be pampered, because our attention's in the wrong place. When that's the case, that should never be our intent or our goal. I hear people say to me, like, I'm just not getting fed in my church. Can I just say that, Sue?
That's the really cool thing about this.
when we pretend, it's hard to ask for help when you're pretending to be something you're not, right? But God, He wants us to ask for help. It's hard to find healing unless you admit that you are sick. Isn't that right, Eddie? You feeling better? So, first we have to admit that we're sick. Go sign in to the doctor. Let them run the test thing and then make a diagnosis and then provide the medication that we need. With God, we need to admit that we are sick. Admit that we're broken. Admit that our life is messy. And the church would be a place where the hurting come for healing. Those of us in the body are supposed to welcome those who need Christ. So, what do you think God wants you to do today? Listen to the voice and respond. Know that He loves you. Know that He loves you. I don't know what's going on in your life today. I don't know what kind of mess you've got going on, but I know that you live in a fallen world that is filled with mess. And you just can't avoid it. But there is help for your mess. And His name is Jesus. And Jesus has established the church for the very purpose of encouraging one another, holding one another accountable, loving one another. As a matter of fact, the way that we love one another is a testament to those who are lost. It's a testament to the world. And when we love one another in a Christ-like manner, in a way that honors Him, it brings hope to a world that has no hope. And it brings people to a point of where they want to know about the cross. They want to know what's going on. Yeah, we're going to offend people. But that's not our goal is not to offend people. That just happens when you happen to be in a relationship with Jesus Christ. You don't have to try to offend somebody. It's going to happen. Don't make that your goal. Make loving Jesus your goal. And if you like offending people, it'll happen. You just don't have to work it, right? But the church is for the hurt. Church is for the broken. Church is for the mess. God has established a church so that we can lift one another up, so that we can encourage others, bring people to God's Word, share it together, and then not stay in that position of I'm a failure. You know, Isaiah, whenever he encountered God, and he saw himself, he saw his true self, the only thing that he could do was just like prostrate on the ground and say, I am ruined. I'm dead. But God didn't leave him. Yes, it's true. We are absolutely dead without Christ. But Christ has made a way. God has made a way so that we can have Him. It was a high price, but it's one that He paid. Not only so that you don't have to, but because you could. So what can you do today? We're going to keep acting like we don't have an investment in our life. Keep pretending we've got it all together. we're going to trust God and give up control. Not to just anything. There are people that give up control when they give us the stuff they shouldn't give us. But give up control to one who is sure, one who is certain, one who is steadfast, one who loves, endures forever. And it says so over and over and over again in His Word. And He proves it. Let's say, Heavenly Father, I love You. I thank You for Your promises. I thank You that Your Spirit helps us to see our true condition, but You don't leave us there. Give us the opportunity through love and Christ to give all that up and trust it in You. I pray, Father, today that we'll hear Your Word, that we'll trust Your grace, and we'll find Your Word. Pray this name. Amen.